Hi, screeners.
Wow. Hi. How are you guys doing? It's been a while. Thank you for joining us again. It's me, the one AJ Anthony Jordan.
And it feels so good to be back. I'm Kenuff. I'm enough. We're enough. Welcome to the Mojo Dojo Dude House. It's me too, Nico Leroux.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. It feels so weird for the first time in a long time to see a
Long time.
little eye on StreamYard showing that there are people. I'm like, you what? Come again? At first it was like the only way to record. Guys, how you doing? Hit us up in the comments. Like I've seen some comments, I'm not gonna lie. I've seen some comments. We've got an interesting question which we'll hit after. Marcus Van Grove, how you doing? Cook 45, ready and waiting. Thank you very much, sir. It wouldn't be a show without the platinum man himself, Gavin M, back in the hood's house. Evening all. What have we here then? Everyone's favorite indie film pod, Bon. Ooh, Bon on. I like that. And we just can't get Kenuff. Well played,
Just
Gav.
can't seem to get enough.
Well played. Andy's here. Andy, how you doing? Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you, sir. Gonna be a good one, Andy. Oh, Andy, we need to get in contact with you because we may be going somewhere in February, and it was a deal that we had with you to visit that place. So keep that space.
Where are we
We'll
going?
I sent you the message like 2 days ago, bro.
Oh, this.
Yes.
Yes.
Not going to invite the whole world to go. Oh, maybe join the screen. Hey, who knows? But yeah.
Screen is on tour.
There we go. So how's everybody been?
How has everybody been? How has everybody been? Let us know down below. Guys, live crew, live squad. Ha ha. Can we say live squad? Live squad.
We have multiple squads again for the first time on this channel. You guys here right now with us are the very first live squad. Thank
Of
you.
the
Of
silver screen dudes.
the silver screen dudes. Yeah, indeed. Oh, that's feeling good. It's feeling good. So, guys, you know the drill because everyone's here. But for those who are going to be joining us for the first time live, Nico, would you like to tell everyone? Okay, before we acknowledge anyone else, Den the Tech is here. Forget Cook 45. Den the Tech's here. Hi, Den. How you
What's
doing? Is
up,
he under
chat?
the right name? So there we are. So now that we've welcomed those who have commented to us, there's a lot more in the house. We can see by numbers, but this is what we're getting so far. Nico, would you like to tell everyone what the movie Mount Rushmore Live is all about?
Yes, basically it's a podcast between two best friends from school. It's a top 10 movie show. And we give our opinions, which matter more than the others. That's what we each think.
Indeed.
Mine matters more than AJ's. He thinks his matters more than me. Anyway, I'm babbling. Here's how the show works. AJ and Ouch get assigned a topic. We go our separate ways. We come right back here into the live stream, into the podcast if you're listening on podcast, and deliver to you the silver screen dudes, our individual top tens. This week, I will go first, delivering my bottom three. AJ will then deliver his bottom three. I will deliver my next two. AJ will deliver his next two. And then we will trade one apiece when we get to our top five. If at any time while we are rounding off our individual top ten lists, one person has moved in a high position, that person will say.
Punt.
And we will punt and talk about that movie when we get to the high position. Once we have both rounded off our individual top 10 lists, we will create RAP in the voice of Chandler Bing, the movie Mount Rushmore. These are the four quintessential diverse must-see movies of the genre, which this week is.
Top 10 horror movies of the 21st century. Now, normally, what would happen is I would then refer you to go on over to X, formerly known as Twitter, where you could then follow and vote to crown El Capitan, El Mañana, the best of the best of the best, everyone is, and bloody bloody blah. However, that is last week's show. That is, I can't even get it out. Next
It's
week's
fine.
show was recorded last week. So if we go for the poll now, my guessing won't be worth X because I already know what it is. Oh, do you see it? The silver screen dudes are quite clean mouthed. We're not as potty mouthed as silver screen dudes. So yeah.
Yeah. F those guys, man.
Yeah, forget those guys. How dare they? No wonder their channel got cancelled, talking about genital organs, had them and stuff like that. Ugh,
And
disgusting.
camel things and
Exactly. Ugh, we rebuke those guys. God. Ugh. I heard they had 5 seasons or so congratulations to them. But
Yeah, they
yeah,
didn't like.
they're silver screen dudes. Yeah,
It's
we're
just because the penis got them.
there we go. if you know, you know. Apparently they were writing a film. I think they're writing a film called A Lad in Somewhere, but yeah. If it comes out, it comes out. But yes, so that's the one. So there will be no guess who was number one, because you will get to figure that out next week, and then in 2 weeks' time we'll be giving you the poll for this one. Is it confusing?
Yes. Just because the way we record and the way the live came in, don't worry, just work with us.
That's the one. So it's all there. Hang with us. You will be able to see this week's Rushmore, and you will then be able to head into at Movie Polls for You, fronted by the good old JT from We Love Movies, and of course at Movie MT Rushmore, the official home of the Silver Screen Dudes. Yeah, we took that from Silver Screen Dudes, but live with it. Okay, let's not waste any more time. Oh, is there any more people we need to shout out? Anyone else joined us before we go into that? Now everyone's just being really pleasant. That's really cool. Thank you guys for joining us. Nothing but love. We're very happy to see you. Nico, over to you, sir.
Yeah, I am very, very, very happy with my list this week. Obviously, horror is very much my jam. This is a genre that I absolutely adore. And I've brought horrors from all over the world. I've got Korea, I've got Thailand, I've got Australia, I've got New Zealand, I've got Sweden. I've gone mad, Millie Millo. But I'm going to start with a horror that I think is... We mentioned it during we mentioned it when we were doing the top 10 goriest films ever. And ooh, it really stuck with me, this one, because I thought, you know what? Let me say what the name is first, and then I'll give my explanation as to why it's in there. Evil Dead, but the Fede Alvarez version, which I believe came out in 2013. Hyper-violent movie. Hyper-violent. Now, the reason that this came in, aside from the fact that it left an impression on me, I'm a big believer that horror is a lot more than just about basic scares, jump scares. It should be about more than gore, definitely. You know, I've often used the term elevated horror or ut horror, right? When horror, it becomes allegorical or metaphorical or has something to say. But Jesus be damned if I didn't see this movie and think, you know what? F everything I've just said. When you're going to do it this well, give me some old school horror. Bring it on. Give me the gore. Give me something as basic as five teenagers go to a cabin in the woods and discover the Book of the Dead and shib goes down. And my God, does it go down. This film, honestly, because Fede Alvarez... a lot of people may not know, Fede Alvarez is directing the next Alien movie. Now, people are saying, oh, Jesus, another Alien movie. Think about what Hulu did with Prey recently. Completely breathed life into the Predator franchise, right? Ridley Scott, who is a notoriously difficult man to please when it comes to Alien movies, has basically trashed all of the recent Alien movies, including his own, Alien Covenant. He even said wasn't a fan of his own movie. Saw Fede Alvarez's movie because Fede insisted that Ridley see it, and his agents were like, are you sure? Like, he's notoriously tough. And he said, I effing love it, Fede. This is what Alien should be. So I'm so excited for the next Alien movie, not just because it's got Ridley Scott's endorsement, but because of this movie, Evil Dead, which just showcases a director who knows how to build tension, who knows how to make things gritty, who's got a very good eye when it comes to picking his angles for cinematography, who's got a good methodology when it comes to pacing. I love this film, and it came to me like a flash of lightning right at the end. I was like, yeah, you know what, hell yeah, let's not just do some elevated horror, let's go a bit old school but with a modern take. Evil Dead, sensational film.
Cool. I really wish I could bring that one up. Like, I to go back to even the gory episode has kind of thrown me, because that was a while ago, that was a past life. But it's tempting. And as I always say, I'm open to certain things. And if you want to call it the old horror and not horror for the casuals, going back to our just before we I'm open to stuff, because I've always been kind of funny with horror. And if there's something that can be something different but still falls under the category, I'm all in for it. So, yeah, bring it on.
It's great.
I'll try.
Thoroughly recommend it if you haven't seen
it, to be honest. Yeah.
Andy Hart saying, I'm struggling, I'm down to a top 12 and 10 honorable mentions that could easily be a top 10 in their own right. Preach, brother. This is a crazy deep bloody topic. Marcus Van Grover says also RIP Matthew Perry. Indeed, the news show, which should be coming out tomorrow, will be paying a full tribute to Matthew Perry on the channel. So check that out. And Gavin Mann rightfully says, hoping Ridley Scott is a fan of Napoleon. Yes, one would hope. My number nine, knowing you, AJ, we're going to have our first live punt, and that would be Jason Blumhouse's The Invisible Man.
Yeah, let's not waste any time. That's definitely a punt. Don't be so disrespectful.
Yeah, and then you see the movies that are going to follow, and you'll understand. Number eight, let's go to New Zealand. Horror comedy. Y'all know where I'm going with this. Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement. What we do?
Do you know when you said New Zealand? I don't know why I didn't think. I tell you what it is. What We Do in the Shadows. It's got horror characters, but it wasn't anything within the horror genre to me, because it did cross my mind, and I very, very nearly made it a 10. I'm like, I just had so much of a laugh with it. I can't put it in the horror category.
Ah, you're falling into the trap. You're falling into the trap. Horror doesn't have to scare you. They're vampires. They suck blood. They just happen to do it in a funny way. It's a horror.
Yeah, okay.
It's a horror comedy, but it is a horror.
Bro, 100%. And I was trying to look at like certain angles of which you can play with the word horror, but I just didn't play the game that deep enough. It did cross my mind, though. I didn't forget it. But I was as much, again, I'm just going back to it. I didn't think that of New Zealand when you said you had a New Zealand horror. But yes, please take the floor. Awesome movie.
Dude, do you know what? Comedy seems to be, yeah, while I think Chris, it was either Chris Trengove or Andy who said this on Twitter a while ago. Comedy of all genres is the most subjective there is, I believe. And for me, at least, in the 21st century, it's been rather slim pickings. 20 or 30 for sure, but when you consider we're 23 years in now to the 21st century. It's been rather slim pickings, comedies, right?
Yes, comedy feels like a bit of a dying art.
It really does. Although I'll say this, Joyride that came out this year, chef's kiss, fantastic. Check it out if you haven't seen it already.
Yes, well, I wanted to see that one actually. But
oh, it's so good. Dude, Joyride is so, 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 so good. Vagina Tattoo, if you know, you know. But yeah, look, What We Do in the Shadows was, for me at the time I watched this, a really needed breath of fresh air when it came to comedy. And it's basically like The Office meets Dracula. Two things which I absolutely love: Taika Waititi's sensibility to be able to deal with quite heavy subject matter but add levity to it is in its absolute full-blown glory here. I love the way they're trying to induct this new vampire. I can't eat chops anymore. Man, I love chops. You know, it's just everything with the New Zealand, with the Kiwi comedy is on display here. And it just works. I will say this. I do think the TV show is every bit as good as the movie, maybe even better in some parts. But the movie is sensational.
Do you know what? It's something about the series that I've enjoyed. I just haven't followed up on it. I've done other stuff. But both have been good, and they have a quirky, unique sense of comedy, which I respect from it. You know, in only a way Taika can deliver. And I like the way that they take your horror stereotypes, essentially, and play on it and deliver it in a comedic way. You know, there was an episode when you said when they meet the werewolves and stuff like that, and it's just them throwing a ball and it's a werewolf in that, you know, in human form chasing it and crap like that and diving out of window. You're like, oh my
god. Don't let him sleep on the floor. Take him outside.
It's got such redeeming factors, and it's just once you're willing to embrace the quirkiness of that comedy, you're all in, you know?
Yeah.
I can understand that some people will watch it and be like, this is just like some failed documentary, as you said. But again, it's like The Office. When I first tried The US Office, I was like, this is not for me. I have finished it, and I'm man enough to admit I shed a tear when it was over. I just
loved
everything I had. And it's the same with this. Once you learn how that, if you're willing to just sit down and take something at face value and appreciate it for what it is, you're in for a hell of a time with What We Do in the Shadows.
Awesome. Oh, you are. You are. It's brilliant. Andy Hart says, good job this isn't a drinking episode with AJ's relationship with horror. And then close to werewolves, not swearwolves. Brilliant. Yeah, we're werewolves, not swearwolves, bro. Gavin Mann says, watch What We Do in the Shadows a few weeks ago for the first time. Love the documentary-style crossover with the vampire struggles with modern life. Werewolves, not swearwolves. And then the tech says, I'm not a big fan of horror. I only just watched Cabin in the Woods today. Fun movie. Takes a weird turn at the end. A lot of fun.
I'm sure that's... When Blockbuster was still about... I'm pretty sure I remember buying that for like £2 because that was part of the early stages of my DVD collection. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Cabin in the Woods. Decent film. Right.
Over to you.
In at number 10, I've seen the first one, couldn't bring myself to watch the second. And it's not that I didn't, not for any hate of the first one, mind you. Interesting take on society. The Purge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one kind of surprised me because this was one of those that, again, I'm going to say the film that you despise more than anything, Scream. You know, I followed that franchise in the horror genre, and I saw this and I was like, what are they going to bring? But just
stripper franchise.
Sorry, for real. You had to be on the road trip to understand that. But with The Purge, I really like the concept of what the world would do if there was no repercussions for one day. You know, just that night, the rules are rules. You can do what you have to do. And I remember sitting back and thinking, this is a crazy idea, but it's just a way of one cleansing their soul and doing what they had to do and knowing that nothing would follow it. And the more it built, I was like, this is interesting. And it starts to get really tense in a way that I didn't anticipate, where, you know, everyone's locking themselves away and then someone starts to knock your door and you're like, do you let them in? Because this, yeah, you're helping them from danger, but in the same time, are you inviting danger into your door? You know, it gets very unsettling and then it starts to unravel. And I think purely based on the fact that of how unique the concept was, some things just feel like they don't need a sequel, and I've never been able to bring myself to watch anything past The Purge 1. And I know they're up to 4 or 5 now. Is it 5 or 6? I don't know. We'll go with 5 because that's the one number I quoted twice. But it just felt like such a unique concept, and I'm sure the others probably won't disappoint, kind of like another franchise that I really do enjoy for its stupidity. It, you know, you think it should be a one and done, but I just could never bring myself to watching the first one because I think it was such a unique taste that it shouldn't have really been tried to be replicated.
The other Purge movies are so different to the first one, jeez.
Really?
So different. Like, bro, the first one is like...
Are they equal but different, or are they a lesser movie?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting.
But so different. Like... The second that from 2 onwards, I haven't seen them all. 2 and 3, I believe, I have both had a good time with them. They're almost like action movies.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's literally, you know, Frank Grillo going full beast mode during the Purges. It's like, okay, different take on the Purge, yet. Fine.
But like First Blood in the Rambo movies, like we have something and then it just.
Perfect example. Perfect example is that Rambo 1, intimate character study. He's going in the woods. Rambo 2, literally that.
Okay.
But they're fun, dude. Purge 2, Purge 3, they're fun movies. Cool. For what it is, Purge 1 remains my favorite, but it's a fun franchise.
Cool. Right. This one.
A few comments quickly.
Oh, go for it, please do.
Co-sign what Andy Hart says here about watch the TV show. It's even better than the movie regarding What We Do in the Shadows. Agreed. Mixed memorabilia here. Hi, Nico and AJ, and to all the film familia. So pleased the live show is back. Absolutely fantastic, but I can't take part today as just had a new addition to the family as Mrs. Mix gave birth recently.
Congratulations. Boy or girl. Anyway, not for us to interfere. Just congratulations. Hope everything goes well. And we shall catch up down the road, Mix Memorabilia. Very happy for you guys.
Spoiler, not prediction. The only thing that's going to go bad is your sleep pattern. Enjoy, my friend. You've got 2 years of it. Enjoy. But well done, Mix Memorabilia. Good for you. Really happy for you, dude. Dan the Tech says, this movie had me wanted the kids to be taken out. And Marcus Van Grover says, next week, Elf turns 20. Ugh, there's a horror movie.
I like that response.
And Frank Andy Hart says, Frank Grillo is king of the fun B movies. He really is. That includes Civil War, minus the fun. Carry on, AJ. Number nine.
Ooh, right, number nine. I have a feeling this. I have a feeling this is going to be a punt because I remember you appreciating it a lot more than I did. But I do appreciate the beauty of this nature of horror, which was quite a nice, interesting take as well. My number nine is The Babadook.
Oh, it's a punt.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. Right, so just before that, I was talking about a franchise that I felt should have been a one and done. And it's continued, and I've followed most of them. I need to still see the most recent release. But I saw the sequel first, and for that is where I'm going to show my love for it over its original. And it kind of nullifies everything I said about being a one and done. Final Destination 2.
I knew this was going to be on your list.
I go for two because it's the one I saw first. It's as pure as that. I think Final Destination 1 is also a very good movie. Mm-hmm. Nothing will beat the. I mean, that was going to be a plane crash with a premonition. The highway scene in Final Destination 2 is all kinds of crazy, intense deaths that just literally opens the door to what is Final Destination to me. But I mean, the concept itself, I missed that the first film in the cinema. I went back to watch it. But the concept of dodging death and death is now coming for you because no one dodges death. When it's your time, it's your time. And if it didn't happen then, you're just going to get another really flubbed up death. And that's what I found with these films. And I must admit, the more I've purchased and watched the films, the crazier and stupider these deaths become. And you're like, how does someone actually think of these? But it's been a fun ride at the same time. A couple of them you are like, that's just ridiculous. That's just stupid. But there are also levels of tension. I remember the kid in the dentist's office, as much as he wound me up, and I still maintain when he did die was one of the most stupid things one could ever do, chasing a pigeon. Anyway, I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. But when he's in the dentist chair and they just save him, he's like, so that's not the death. Oh my God, how is he going to die? Like, it is very creative at the same time. Not only is the concept, but the creative ways behind them. Crazy franchise, some people for them, others like myself, like I saw it and I'm all in. I was just all in on them, as I said. Have to still see the last one, but I like them. That's the funny relationship with horror. This is what I can follow.
I like Final Destination 1 and 2. After that, I don't really have time. The roller coaster scene in 3
was
fun,
bad. 3 wasn't bad.
3 was okay. It's dead to me after that. 2, the reason I liked it is because it really upped the ante from the first one. Like, if you watch 2 and then watch 1 is tame compared to 2.
1 felt tame. I'm not going to lie, it did. But I could still appreciate it because I knew it gave birth to what I do enjoy.
Dude, that motorway scene in number 2 was just like, whoa. And the ladder. Oh, God. Oh, the ladder. And that, you know, could happen in a really unfortunate circumstance. That's not off the table entirely.
No.
So, okay. I'll give you that. That's a fun one.
Thank you. So that was my 10. No, over to you. That was my 10-9-8. We punted on
that. Was your 10-9-8. Question from Gavin Mann quickly. With your recent verbal censor of the shows, do I have the right to remain confused if you talk about flubber at an
Well played. Well played. Meet the flubbers.
Meet the flubbers. Very good.
Flubbing hell, yeah. There we go.
It's weird how we literally would not be allowed to say that.
Yeah.
The fact that we Kill Bill, we got alerted for in our advertising. They were like, you can't advertise it.
Well, let's just talk about the superhero. Yeah. The superhero whose name is K.A., is not allowed to be mentioned without getting a flag. It's the name of the film. There are posters of this. And by the way, if we're going to play the game here in the UK, it's A-R-S-E. So when we said the other one, we're talking about kicking a donkey. And you did not say it was cruelty to animals. So I revoke the censorship that you're mentioning.
But it's inconsistent because Kill Bill, no. Killers of the Flower Moon, no problem. In case you were wondering if the Google algorithm is racist. Ah, the Osage, that's fine. White girl killing Asians. No. Can't have that. No. Can't be having any of that. Marcus Van Grover, is there a comedy act you hate as much as Will Ferrell? No. Not even close.
I can't think of another actor who's wound me up as much as him.
No. Jesus, no. Forget comedy actor. Actor, period.
I know. So I'm predicting someone's going to type Woody Harrelson there, but that's not the case. No. Just before anyone thinks they're smart enough to type it, no, that doesn't fall under the category.
I was going to say, there's no way you dislike Woody Harrelson as much as you dislike Will.
No, Ferrell. I'm just thinking someone's going to have it because we've had the whole AJ and Woody situation, but no.
Which I still can't get my head around, but that's between you and your conscience. That's fine.
Oh, yes, let there be carnage. You've proven my point. He makes excellent films.
That's his fault, yeah?
Come again?
That's his fault?
I'm just saying, the films he's in have never landed to me. Let's not do this right now. Because everyone's going to start being like, AJ, you don't like Natural Born Killers. It's not a 21st century horror. We've moved on. We just said it. We don't like Will Ferrell. We move
Convenient,
on.
That. Seven, I have a feeling you're going to punt, so get your finger ready. From Korea, Train to Busan.
Yeah.
Another punt. Okay. My number six. Let's go to my second home. Let's go to the Kingdom of Thailand. A movie that I have brought up before, and I gather very few, if anyone, has seen it. Not even mixed memorabilia with his crazy collection of foreign films. Fad, also known, translated as Alone.
Have you mentioned this before?
So many times now.
Okay.
Alone is the story of an actress who gets haunted. And we're like, why is she being haunted? What's up with her? And
then we find out. See if I remember rightly, was she a Siamese twin?
10 points.
Yeah, I do remember this. Continue.
And through a series of very effective flashbacks, you figure out why she made the decision to get separated from her twin. The twin dies during the separation, and the spirit of that twin comes back to haunt the hell out of her. It's effective. It is reliant on jump scares, but much like with James Wan...
No, I just remembered the film and I'm kicking myself. Sorry.
Much like with James Wan, it does jump scares in an incredibly effective way. Not on the same level of mastery as James Wan does, hence the position this has at six. But it gives you some very, you know, where James Wan holds back on the jump scare, and that's what screws with you. You know, you think, you know, head comes up from the table, blah, there's the jump scare, and then he doesn't give it to you, and you're like, ah, you're messing with me. Stop it. This is different. This does jump scares, which personally I've never seen done before and have not seen replicated afterwards. If you have seen the movie, which I doubt, but if you have, Mirror jump scare with doggy on the stairs. Wait for it. You will literally launch out your seat when they do this. The story is effective. I think it's a unique take, having, you know, conjoined twins separated and then one of them dying and then the other coming back to haunt the other. It's messed up. It's like sibling rivalry gone wrong, man. It's so good, this film.
Nice. I will get around to seeing it one day. Here's the truth of it. It sounds like an all kind of awesome movie. And I screwed up, bro. I'm not gonna lie. I screwed up. But
you just remembered Martyr, did you?
You didn't have to say that because I was actually getting rid of my number six, but thank you. Yeah, I'm getting rid of my number six because my number six has been spoken about quite recently. If you've been watching The Silver Screen Dudes, AJ's brought up that film quite a few times. For some reason I thought it was there was two horror films that I checked that weren't 21st century but have had US remakes that are 21st century. And for some reason I thought Martyrs was one of them, and as you brought this up, it for some reason gave me Martyrs vision. And yeah, so that's where we're at.
Well, remember, Martyrs also came up on our goriest movies, right? For both of us. Indeed. I think it was maybe when I mentioned Evil Dead and Gory, it must have jogged some little subconscious memory in you.
Came back out, yeah. So yeah,
anyway, the post that was my 7 and 6. Your number 7?
My number 7. Yeah, I'm going to go for this one. I was thinking, oh, do I want to get rid of number 6? But number 6 has been brought up quite a bit. So number 7 shall maintain. 28 Days Later.
Mm-hmm. All you.
Now, 28 Days Later, I give props to for many reasons. Because, one, it's a very good movie. Two, we have London. We have St. Thomas's Hospital, which I can look at every bloody day at work. So it's always there. And my boss told me that because he was working there during lockdown, they were very, very, very close one day plugging in the speaker on the boat and playing the zombie call just to match the movie. And I was like, if I was there, we would have done it. That would have guaranteed happened. But yeah, it didn't happen. But again, I will say this because 28 Days Later is a zombie movie that I can endorse. Now, obviously, we've just hunted on another one, but this has got levels of zombie that I can appreciate. I remember the speed at which I first saw a zombie movie in this film, and I was like, oh, this is different. And it just gives you elements of... As I said, I feel that zombie movies can be very monotonous, very stupid, and very much the same. Even for all my love of World War Z, that could still kind of somewhat fall under that 100%. Category. It's the best of the same, essentially. This was a different take on zombies, and I appreciate it for what it was. Was it last year, I think, was the first time I saw it, and yeah, I was down with it.
Oh, it's great. It's freaking great. My only reason for not including it is just because I brought it up ad nauseum.
Bro, I understand that fully. I understand that fully. Which is kind of why I changed my number 6. Because recently, if you've been watching The Silver Screen Dudes, Megan has been coming up forever. And I'm not going to do that. Because I'm now going to bring up this. Martyrs as my number 6. Because, my gosh, what a film this is. Now, we talk about gore. But it's also just the actual... Do you know what it is? I think it was the visions. The visions of the sister also reminded me of the visions that the girl has in the room of who she could have saved. The film just starts off in such a way where you've just got this, it's not America, but essentially just picture a nice white picket fence family. Everything seems to be going peachy until the doorbell rings and it just changes. And you're like, what the hell is this? This is like Kill Bill and John Wick levels of violence that happened in the beginning. You're like, whoa, whoa, hello. And then you start to go through this film and see what the concepts are. And it's this girl who has been through a level of torture from this medical organization. And essentially... I can say it without it actually being a spoiler, because I'm sure it would be anyway. This medical group are actually trying to bring people as close as possible to the brink of death, or to death, should I say, to bring them back from death to get their understanding of what is on the other side. And in order to do that, you are putting people through the most heinous forms of torture that you could ever imagine, and just for... a guilty pleasure, really, like a vile, sadistic pleasure. Like, if you want to know what the other side is, you practice it on yourself. No. You're unwillingly taking, from what I remember, orphans and putting them through this. It's an absolutely disgusting, a gory movie, but the horror and the tension behind it is something serious. I would highly recommend it. I have seen it in French. There is an American remake. I kind of remember if I watched the American remake, but I have gone and seen the French one twice.
It's not just the horror and the tension, it's the atmosphere, dude, and it's so cold. It has got such a bleak message about life, and that message permeates every single frame of the movie, and it's just driving the point home. Humanity is bad, humanity is self-serving, and you're kind of looking there going, I can't really disagree, despite the fact that what I'm seeing makes me feel like I need to get into a cold shower. It's like, it's horrible.
Have you seen what Andy's just put up? Because this I can't picture.
That's true.
You should see Martyrs in a cinema where you can't pause it and take a break.
Yep.
That would be, that's chilling. Because I can imagine the atmosphere in the cinema as well, the elevated sounds around you and everything. Mm-hmm. Oof.
And it's definitely a movie, Martyrs, where I'm not a believer in breaking the movie magic, you know, just get me there from A to Z in one hit. But there are some movies, and Martyrs is one of them, where I just need to go, no, pause. Wee. Let me go grab some water.
Do you know, it's not even so much the breaks, but it's the, I think the cinema, because I watched it in one go. I did. But it's the cinema.
I had to tune out the first time I saw it.
I remember you saying that.
It was too much for me.
Yeah, but it's just the atmosphere of the cinema. Like, I can feel just like there are certain sounds and reactions to stuff that would really do me in a cinema. And I think I didn't watch it during the day, but it wasn't as pitch black as a cinema can be. Do you know what I mean? That atmosphere. Yeah. And as you've always said, a unison of atmosphere, feeling that tension amongst everyone around you. Oof, that would be
horrible. Horrible. It's genuinely a horrible movie, but it's also must see.
Yeah,
that was your six. Yeah,
indeed. Yeah, what a piece.
My five. I'm very, very happy I get to talk about this movie now. Saw it a few years ago, and that is It Follows. Now, we were talking at the top about how horror can sometimes get allegorical and metaphorical, right? This freaking film does all of that, because what It Follows essentially is, it's an allegory for stalking and for rape. That's what it is. There's this creature. It's never named, it's never explained where it comes from, but it's passed on to you by having sex. The creature doesn't have sex with you. You have to have, if someone who the creature's following has sex with you, the creature then starts stalking you, right? Kind of think about this. If you could imagine a snail following you around the world that can't be killed. It's a snail. You can fly. It would take it an eternity to come after you.
But it will get there.
But it will get there eventually, right? You can keep traveling. So the snail realistically should never be able to catch you because of the, you know. But there would be a point after you've traveled so far and the journey for the snail would be so great that you would be lulled into a false sense of security, right? That's what this movie plays into. This thing doesn't run, doesn't chase you, just walks. Just walks consistently until it gets you. Then it rapes you and kills you by rape. It's horrible, this movie. Now, the movie you punted me on, Invisible Man, my number 9. We've often said that, wow, if I was a woman alone at home, I wouldn't want to be watching this movie.
No.
Every woman ever who has walked down a dark alley when her father and mother told her not to do that, who's in a big city surrounded by a group of guys and who isn't feeling safe. I'm not even a woman, but I would imagine any woman who has ever felt that, you know, hairs on the back of her neck standing up where she's like, I'm being followed and I'm uncomfortable. That's what this movie attacks. The fact that it's so powerful and it worked on me, a 6'2" freaking kickboxer, I can only imagine what it did to the female population. It is so powerful and so evocative of a very harsh and dark reality. I do not throw the M word around lightly. This film is a freaking masterpiece.
It's caught me. That's an interesting one. I will give that one a shot. That sounds interesting.
It's incredible. So It Follows is my number 5. Your number 5?
My number 5, one that I've fallen in love with after this, the minute I saw it. Yeah. A Quiet Place. It just doesn't feel right to talk about horror of the 21st century without quoting this film, to be honest. It has such a decent concept of the way it just handles sound. And it built tension in a way. And as you said, you know, one of the key things that you've got to try and picture is how can someone become pregnant and raise a baby in a world where you cannot have sound? It just doesn't seem realistic. Mixed memorabilia, when you watch this episode again, remember what the silver screen dude said: you shall not sleep because of sound. So that's an interesting thing. But I just remember being captivated by it. And it's how they have to travel through areas, be very cautious of everything, having a, you know, the moment with the sun and the toy, and you just think, oh my days, what are you doing? Like, it's that. I'm aware the film's old. I'm aware everyone watching right now has probably seen it, but I'm also very cautious of spoilers because I feel that a great film should not have a spoiler to it. For instance, I probably would have appreciated The Sixth Sense a lot more if people stopped quoting "I see dead people."
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's just facts. And I feel that the more you talk about a film that has greatness in it, the more you're opening it for people to not get the experience that you've had. And it's quite unfair. You know, yeah. In the same way people say don't end the end game, you know, don't speak in a quiet place. Yeah, it's literally something that, it's a family's journey in order to survive in a world where you cannot make sound. And the minute you make sound, this weird alien being, well, beings, should I say, will swoop in and come for the attack. I think it was absolutely fantastic. I am a fan of number one more than number two.
Agreed. I'm not
saying Kaczynski was the savior of the film and Emily Blunt couldn't hold it. There was just certain parts of number two that I felt were lacking compared to the uniqueness of number
one. I preferred one to two. The novelty also is in number one, which number two lacks.
Well, this is it. Once you've got it, and yeah. But it was such a refreshing film to watch. Just something new. And this is, again, where the world will talk about remakes and stuff like that. This isn't remake or IP. This is something fresh. Take it on. Embrace it.
I mean, I'm so... Yes, there is too much remakes being made, but you've got to... You've also got to note that there's never been a time in cinema history where there's more original content being made. The fact that people aren't consuming it is the crime. It's not the fact that the movies aren't being made.
Yeah, yeah.
Quiet Place, subtitled Schrodinger's Nail. Indeed.
Yeah, so I'll put it out there. That's from Andy. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
That was your five, yes?
It was indeed, sir.
My four was the pun from earlier. Baba Duck, Duck, Duck. A flat-out masterpiece, one of the strongest, most effective horror films of recent years. There goes your peaceful night's sleep. Truly frightening. As a parent, I cannot even look at that poster without having the hairs on my arm stand up. Real talk, when I first saw The Babadook, I was like, good film. Pretty good film. Never thought about it again. Then we did a topic, Since Leia's Been Born, which involved me watching The Babadook again. Wow. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Wow. If you're a parent, Babadook will mess you up some and then a bit. The idea of being completely in your own parental bubble, not having anyone you can turn to for help, having a child literally having breakdowns in front of your eyes and you feeling helpless, and then you got this creature that's haunting you and making everything worse. Is it real? Is it fake? Somebody give me a break. You know. That's the magic of The Babadook. Again, completely allegorical. Is it there? Is it not? Are we actually dealing with a haunting and demon movie? Is this whole movie, you know, a metaphor for psychosis? Is it a metaphor for isolation, for cabin fever? Is it an allegory about, you know, single mothers? Pick what you want. They all work. That's the sign of a great movie. All answers are correct and all answers are powerful.
You know, I agree. The funny thing about The Babadook is... Now, whichever way you look at the poster, it's there. You can see it. That hand-drawn kind of looking character is the villain. And it's not a spoiler. It's just the film. You see that very early on. And that's what got me about this film. I won't say... the reason it was so low for me is it didn't throw me off. I actually enjoyed the concept because it essentially could be made on a shoestring budget, and I liked the way it played with it. It just didn't elevate the tension as much as I wanted to. It captivated me. I just didn't have the tension I required from it, which is weird because I really enjoyed it. But I think, again, it's not... Sometimes you can spoil, but sometimes, you know, when someone says, oh, this is fantastic. Go back to Carrie, what we talked about. Oh, yeah, what we talked about next week.
what we talked about last week, next week.
Yeah, next week, yeah. It's a good film, but so many people... Screw it, let's go with The Godfather. Good film. But everyone's like, oh, The Godfather's amazing. It's amazing, it's amazing. By the time I finally saw it, I was like, this is good, but it didn't have what I had. And I think, again, I'm digesting horror in a different way to what I expected because, you know, the AJ favorite line for 6 seasons. It's not that I watch horrors because they scare me. I don't watch horrors because they don't scare me. And that's the kind of thing. It's like I was expected to probably get the shivers taken out of me. I could see the frustration. I could see certain things. There are certain parts that I remember of the film I didn't agree with. But it's not like, I'm not going to quote too many films, The Shining, where I was like, I would have handled that differently if I was a parent. You'll see next week what I'm talking about. But there was just certain parts I was like, maybe I would have done that differently from a directed point of view. And those stuff play in my head when they do. But all the same, I really like the way that a childhood book starts to become very obsessive for this child. And then the relationship of a mother who's doing her absolute best, even going to her sister's house, and the disconnect that her and her family have because they're not the perfect 2.4 like her sister has. And it just elevates. No one wants to babysit this kid, and it gets to, it's very, very powerful. It has been moments. So it does have it. But there was just a few bits that hit me that I couldn't really fully embrace this film. And I think it was overhyped, but it was a great experience. I think if I watched it a second time, I probably would appreciate it more.
Yeah, and as AJ and I often say, overhype does not mean bad. A film can be great and still be overhyped. Godfather's the perfect example. Great film, but still overhyped.
Majorly. Majorly. Majorly.
Greatest film of all time. Hell no. Hell no. Well,
others, Casablanca. I was like, where, why?
Hell no.
Where, why, and what? No way. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Yeah, can we just take a small moment to say, hello, Billy Mount. How you doing? No need to apologize for being late. Yeah. As I said, it's been a while, Nico. Followed by what number film are we on? So we've just both done our number. Was that number 4? No, that was my number. Yeah. Sorry. Yes, yours. Number 4. Nico and AJ, do you celebrate Halloween? Funny enough, I acknowledge Halloween, don't get me wrong, and just for work I dressed up. I'm not gonna lie, this year was the first time I wanted to go full-on cosplay. I just could not find a Static Shock costume. I like, the hair was there, I was ready to go full meta with that, but it just didn't happen. And I was never really a trick-or-treater, but I do like to see people get dressed up and the fun around Halloween. I know some people see it as a bit of a taboo situation. My mum used to be like major she works in decor, love doing it, and then one year she's like, this goes against my religion, and just flat out stopped. So
it's pagan,
it's just like the worship of the dead and that stuff like that, and it's just like, no, it's not meant to go that way. So Billy, I funny enough, if you watch next week's episode of the Silver Screen Dudes, you'll see what we think about the Godfather Part 3. I haven't seen it as yet, but I do believe, and I said this next week, that The Godfather Part 2 helped me appreciate The Godfather Part 1 a lot more and has got me tempted to see The Godfather Part 3. But when you have different films that you need to have a selection of each week, like films from Kentucky, had I seen many? Hell no. You just don't have time to see the films you want to see. And then we also have a thing called Top 10 Films of X Year. So films released in the 70s don't really always catch me, but I do really want to see it. I think 2 is amazing. Makes you appreciate number 1 more. And I can't wait to see what number 3 delivers. Bile also asks, do you guys consider Casablanca a film noir? Film noir.
For sure. It has a femme fatale. It has a femme fatale. Yeah. Argument done. It has a femme fatale. It's a film noir.
Big up, Bile. Static for the win. And finally, I would definitely love to... Look, when it comes, we'll get... Hey, do you know what? Maybe next year. Maybe next year we'll do the whole Static Shock setup.
Marcus Van Grover also said, I was thinking next year, next you guys could do top 10 animated movies of the 21st century. That is a great suggestion, and I've added it to our 2024 release calendar. Billy Mal, I do celebrate Halloween. I took my two-year-old daughter, who turned two nights ago, I took her trick-or-treating. Would everyone like to see my first attempt at a pumpkin carving? I'm very proud of it.
Bring it up.
I'm very proud of this.
It's awesome. It's all kinds of awesome.
Look at that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, did the teeth, did the little angry, like, did the pumpkin eyes, did, yeah. I'm really proud of that, my pumpkin carving. Sorry if you're listening on pod, but yeah, jump to like, well, what is it,
yeah, 50
minutes into the video.
There you go. No, that, well done, bro. When I saw that, I saluted. I had to salute. Very well played.
You know what? It's when you start seeing something coming together, you're like, this is quite good, you know? Call me the Rodin of pumpkin carving.
Cool.
Next year, maybe I'll do a pumpkin vomiting its insides. That'll be next.
But it's doable, and it would look all kinds of cool.
Nice. Sure. Well, or I could do it like as a table centerpiece. The vomit could be like green, and it would be like guacamole for like dip or something.
This man is enjoying the family life. He's up in the Halloween game. Well done, you, bro. Well done, you.
Boy, domestic bliss. Mixed memorabilia. Give it 2 years, you'll know what I mean. Next 2 years, though. Good luck.
but worth it. Even not being a parent, I can tell you it's worth it. That's how much I believe in that. Okay, so my number four is one of our puns from earlier.
Si, senor.
The Blumhouse, the Invisible Man.
The Blumhouse? It's just Blumhouse.
No, I'm saying from the Blumhouse because it's the Silver Screen Dudes. It's me. I was going to say the Blumhouse Carrier. I was going to say the Blumhouse Man, and I just stopped. I don't know why I stopped. Because I think I was going to say the Blumhouse Man.
That's quite good.
And then the Invisible Man, I was like, you know what? Just shut the hell up. So I just left it as the Invisible, like the Blumhouse. Again, we talk about the world having remakes. And is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Taking IPs of elsewhere and bringing it in a different way. The Invisible Man was a very, very interesting take because this isn't the original Invisible Man story. What I liked about it is you've taken the Invisible Man story, or just the idea of a man who's invisible, and mixed it into our society. You've made it very realistic in the fact that this is someone who knows how to work technology, and the costume is made out of something that could just, you know, cameras that essentially just make him cloak into anywhere he wants. And the tension of this, I did not expect it. When this film came out during lockdown, I was just like, I remember seeing the posters. It did not tempt me. It did not tempt me at all.
No, nor me.
Because lockdown was going on and it was like, hey, new films, just hit it. And I can't remember what we were doing. And I believe that was my film of the year. It really, really took me in. And again, going back to what you said earlier, the tension of being a woman, and don't get me wrong, this could happen to anyone, but you know, when you're seeing a woman on screen that way represented, it's going to be there. It's the actual inherent fear that everybody has. Like, if you're going to tell me you've never had any fears in the dark, good on you. But the fear of the things that go bump in the night. You think you've heard something. You think you've seen something move. You turn around, you've checked everything. There's nothing there. And this is just a partner who felt he was wronged because she left him, even though he was an abusive piece of crap. And the film just, phew, it plays with you, man. Yeah. I was like, this is a good film. Was I scared? Again, chilling. Again, as we said, as those not being targeted, maybe not as scared. But I was like, oh, you're delivering something here. You're delivering something here. I like this journey. So 100%, nothing but props to The Invisible Man. If you haven't seen it, guys, check it out.
Yeah, it's such a little hidden gem, this film. It's caught me completely off guard. Billy Mount's mentioning how it was meant to be part of the Monsters universe until it wasn't, which is
that correct. I didn't know, actually.
Yeah, Invisible Man was one of the monsters, right?
But don't get me wrong, I knew that, but I thought everything got scrapped.
No, not from this film as you currently see it.
Ah, okay.
Basically, There was, I think there was some sort of licensing deal that the character Invisible Man had to appear in a movie, and Jason Blum was like, I'll take that.
Hey! Okay, well done.
So yeah, he basically shot from the hip from zero and was like, okay, let's just make this a small budget Blumhouse movie. And it was thankfully one of his better movies.
Cool. And to answer your question as well, Billy, Megan was going to be my number six. It's just that in our recent pre-recorded episodes, I've brought it up a lot, but I think Megan is amazing as a movie. I think it's absolutely amazing. I know Five Nights at Freddy's is out there. I remember my little cousin watching Five Nights at Freddy's on YouTube, and I was just like, what is this? And it's not so I've not been tempted to run to the cinema because the actual first bits on YouTube didn't catch me. But I know it's making waves for that younger generation, so who knows? Maybe something to catch an eye.
Yeah. Billy Matt, I agree. Exorcist Believer, absolute stinker. Review for that is up on the channel now. Yeah. And Andy Hart, I co-sign. She wasn't bad. There's this common stigma out there that, oh, the problem with Godfather 3 was Sofia Coppola. Nope. Sofia Coppola was not the problem with that movie. And I don't actually think there was a problem with that movie. Tune in next week and we'll talk more Godfather 3. So that was your number four, AJ, yes?
Indeed, yeah.
Cool. So my number three, are we going to punt here? Maybe.
Bring it maybe. Up. We'll see.
From Sweden, Let the Rat Come
In. Yeah. We're punting. Okay. We are punting. We are indeed punting. So my number three is the punt from earlier. Train to Busan.
Right on.
Yeah. Again, smart zombie movie. And let's be honest, the Far East know how to do cinema.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whether it's action, whether it's drama, they can bring it. And this film is what that brings it again. Now, as much as you may not be a fan of the zombie genre, and you could always say, do this and do that, what do you do when you're in a contained unit? Not much. And this kind of plays on it. I must admit, there is a short animation which is meant to be the sequel to this. I wanted to be the smart A and like go and look for that and watch it and add that to the list because it's meant to be just as good, if not better. I think it's rated 100% on RT, but I've just had a time. It's been a busy week. It's been a busy week for the screeners, trust me. For the silver screen dudes, we've been busy this week. So I've not had a chance to see it. But this, again, was I don't want to sound repetitive, but zombies are not my jam. This is one of the things that would probably turn me off of horror. So if you're going to tell me, oh, check this out, and then you can deliver on the promise, you're going to win. And this was something very refreshing, new, challenging, a different concept to what I don't endorse as a film, and I just had to salute it and give it its respect.
It's a superb movie, this. You talk about taking the zombie premise, you talk about taking the fast-ass zombies from 28 Days Later, you talk about crafting a really interesting father-daughter dynamic around, and you center the movie around a character who you genuinely don't really feel much for. So amidst this crazy zombie apocalypse, you've actually got this weird story of parental redemption.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, sometimes, and I think that's what the Far East do as well. They take concepts. It's concept within a concept, you know? So in the overall arc, yes, it's a horror movie of zombies, but there's depth to the story, which that takes it away from being just a dumb horror movie, you know? And that's where you're like, hey, well played. Well played. I like it.
Marcus Van Grover, I like this question. Favorite John of Hollywood? The problem is I'm not going to say my John because not only, already you can't see him. So, John Cena.
If I didn't get that, I would not be a wrestling fan and I would have to...
No, not you, dum-dum.
You mean it's not John Carter? How dare you?
Not an actor, that's a movie, but carry on.
But is he not a John of Hollywood?
John that Carter. That was a John
produced by Hollywood. Yes. It's a Hollywood production, is it not? I don't know which way the cast went.
There's a few I could go with: Travolta, Singleton, John Rhys-Davies, John C. Reilly, John Cleese, John.
I didn't think of Cleese actually.
John Malkovich, John Leguizamo.
No, that's Joe.
It's John Leguizamo.
Am I thinking of someone else? John. Yeah. Is it John?
John Goodman, John Cusack. There's a few.
Oh, Cusack's a good shout.
There's a few. I'm gonna Cena, because I love him. I think we've got a real little Johnny Bravo. Yes, Billy Mann. Oh, I like that. Billy Mann. No, I refuse to see Peninsula. Reviewing Saw 10. Dude, I want to see Saw X because I've heard it's quite good. I'm probably not going to review it just because I'm too late to the party and the work it will take me to edit a review, film it, edit it, and get it up. It won't be worth the traction. So I missed the ship a little bit on that one. I'm sure I'll get around to seeing it. And Gavin Mann wins the John question. John McClane.
Oh, I mean, there is Wick.
Ooh. No. AJ wins. No. John McClane ain't got a hope against John Wick. Sorry. John Wick.
Wick.
In John the fantasy McClane can't walk on glass. John Wick eats glass. It's like...
Yeah. I don't think anyone can outdo Mr. Wick, if I'm
no. Honest. No. Facts, no.
I was going to say something, and then I realised it sounded like such a terrible pun. I was going to say they can't hold a candle to John Wick. And I was like, oh, God. You know when you say it, you're about to say it, and you're like, that just sounds like the cheesiest pun ever. Just move on. But yeah.
Move on. Billy Mount, John Rambo is indeed a badass. I co-sign that statement. John Wick is more.
I was going to say, I would still put my money on John Wick. I would still put my... And that is weird to say that about Rambo, but yeah. I would still put my money on John Wick over John Rambo.
Yes, Gavin, man. Iko Uwais. That's a good shout there. That's the guy from The Raid, AJ. Iko Uwais. Badass. Absolute badass.
Oh, badass. Yeah. Sorry. I was like, that's not a John.
No.
I was waiting for like the translation of the name.
Cool. So we done Train to Busan. And so my number two, yes?
Yeah.
I have a feeling this is Andy's favorite because I remember him saying it a few times. Amazing film. Absolutely amazing film. The Descent. Now, this is a horror movie. It's literally two horror movies for the price of one. I've definitely mentioned it to you before.
It's ringing the bell. This is the first time I've seen
Monster. Girls Go Spelunking.
Yes.
For the first 45 minutes of this movie, if you suffer from claustrophobia, do not watch this film.
I think I'm shaking on that. Yeah.
I do not suffer from claustrophobia. Boy, did this movie nearly make me claustrophobic. Wow. And then when you get past all the nasty cave crawling claustrophobia, they send in Gollum, like an army of little blind golems attack these girls. And then, like with all of these great horror movies, like we just discussed, Train to Busan was like masking a parental redemption story. This is masking a revenge story between four different women. What's the issue? What's the beef between them all? Don't know. We're trying to fight off the blind golems. Yeah, but we need to deal with this character piece first. That's a good movie. If the movie was a doggy, I'd be saying it's a good doggy. Doing character and using horror to frame the character. Good.
Well played, bro.
It is yes. Indeed. I know my film family.
Oh, this is interesting. Billy Mount says the ending in the UK version is the ultimate rock.
100%.
That means they're ultimate. Yeah, alternative endings.
Four.
Four endings.
Four. Seen them all great. There is not a bad one. That's what.
No. I now, because you know that people have to sail the seven seas in order to watch certain films. I'm now trying to make sure I get the right ending. Or multiple endings, as it were. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. I'm gonna have to see. Oh, it's the claustrophobia, man.
You suffer from claustrophobia
to a degree.
Oh, this movie will absolutely break you. Yeah, that your whole I don't watch horror because horror doesn't scare me. Haha.
Oh, I may do it to myself. I don't want to do it to myself.
I'll do it. But that's the essence of horror. It makes you feel alive. It makes you feel your most vulnerable because it taps into.
But you know when we talked about not pausing a film or something like that?
You must pause.
This one, I feel I might just be like, no. Honestly, there's something about, like, I could be in certain confined spaces. There are other times I just need to, like, break out. Like, ooh, so shivers already just thinking about it. Ah, okay. All right. We'll see.
Yeah, and as Billy says, the UK version, because when it came to the US, they removed that rug pull and ended with a jump scare. Good jump scare, though. But yes, personally speaking, I prefer the UK version. But
the jump scare is not visible in the UK version.
Correct.
Oh, I've got some searching to do.
The UK version's ending leaves you on, like, it's genius. I can't say more.
I've just got some work to do. All right, don't worry. I'll try and figure out a way to find out what's what. Okay.
That was my number two. Your number two.
Okay, my number two. Da, 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 da. So it was the punt from earlier. Let the right one in.
Let the right come in. What a film.
This very, 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 very nearly made number one. Honestly.
Understandable.
It's such a masterpiece of a movie. Again, when we're going to play the whole horror game, as much as I can hate on zombies, I will forever love on vampires, you know?
Yeah. So
that this is my jam, but it's such an interesting take on it because we're not just playing the whole, like, oh, the daylight, this and the other, and the bloodlust.
I want to drink your blood.
Yeah, it just went so much deeper. And it's this forming of a friendship that is there, this young kid who just lives a very excluded life, who happens to befriend the young girl who we then learn to find out is a vampire, and those who have wronged him will surely pay the price as we soon see. But it's just do you know, it's not the horror of this film, which is a bit contradictory that I didn't put What We Do in the Shadows for it being a comedy, and I'm going to say the film is deeper. Because don't get me wrong, it has its chilling moments, which you can fall for the horror, but it's the drama side of this movie.
This isn't a scary horror movie. This is elevated horror. This is all horror.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. You have tension. You have moments where you are tense. Some of it is more heartbreaking tension than actual tension. But again, if you go to the school at night, trust me, that's horror. it's horror you're cheering for. Kind of like Harry and the school prom. You know why you're cheering, but...
Go, Sissy Spacek.
Yeah, but like this was a beautiful film. You know, you talk about the M word that you don't like to throw about. This is a masterpiece. I have.
Oh, no, yes. Yes.
Throwing that about there. Solid. Just as I said, it's a drama. It's the friendship. It's the journey of a vampire. We all know that vampires. Let's go to Kirsten Dunst in Interview with a Vampire, that if you are turned into a vampire at a certain age, you may age as an individual, but the body shall not. This also plays on that kind of element. And then the elements that have happened in between that and the journey, it's heartbreaking, it's shaking, the roller coaster of emotions that this film puts you on. You know, sympathy on two ends, compassion, understanding, heartbreak from betrayal, which is essentially like a childhood betrayal because you're trying to make each other do better. And there were so many.
There's even scenes with gender dysmorphia thrown in here, you know? It's like, oh, we're throwing the kitchen sink here then. Thematically. Cool.
Yeah. Sorry, Billy, I've just popped up to your question and it's, have you seen the remake and the television series? Is that, I don't know if we're talking...
TV series, this is Let the Right One In. TV series, okay, no, remake I've seen, actually quite good. Not a patch on Let the Right Come In, but it's pretty good still.
And to what else have I seen Queen of the Damned? No, I'm not going to lie.
You?
No,
I'm surprised.
I know. Aaliyah's lost. Well,
yeah.
Aaliyah's gone. I know. I'll tell you what it is. My sister, who was also a huge Aaliyah fan, saw the film and hated it.
It sucks.
advised it. This is the thing. And it kind of threw me off so much of the film. And at the time, I didn't know it was a sequel to Interview with the Vampire. It's only
You see Lestat pop up and you're like, that's not Tom Cruise.
This is what I heard. When I heard it was connected, I was like, really? And I wasn't sure if I knew how to play with it. I was like, because I loved Interview so much, do I want to follow up with this? But then I knew my sister's hate, and I was like, ooh. And then the fact that you don't have the connection of Tom Cruise or any, like, you know, sometimes you get these weird connections. Yeah.
But yeah, Let the Right One In, one of the best mainland European movies to come out in the 21st century too.
Plays on
all of the tropes and stereotypes of vampirism, puts a fresh coat of paint on them, and makes what is, even though we like it, a very stale subgenre feel so fresh.
Yep. Okay, guys. That was my number two.
Yes.
Nick has done his number two. This feels weird because we haven't done it in a while. Now, before we announce our worst, for everybody watching, please either drop your Rushmore or your top 10. Either way, just get the comments in now. We're going to star it. We're going to go for it. Ooh, it's the first time we don't get to decide our fourth spot in the Rushmore in a while. Ooh.
We're going to struggle because there's been a few punts here.
I know. It makes it a bit interesting now that the fans get to select again. Wow. The power to the people has returned. Okay, cool. Right, your worst, bro.
Let me start that from Andy. My worst, dude, I mentioned it to you en passant last week. It's the masturbation mark. Uwe Boll's House of the Dead.
Like, you called them the masturbation mark. Well played. A good way to keep it clean.
Yes. I'm allowed to say masturbate and I'm allowed to say mark. Masturbation stain, if you prefer. But I like the double M, masturbation mark. It just felt good.
Good old Uwe. Good old
Slippery Uwe. Slide, whatever you want to call him. The most untalented man to ever make a film. At least with Tommy Wiseau, there's an element of charm to it.
Do you know what, Tommy? Do you know the difference between the two? And I'm not here to crap on Tommy because, again, I feel like this is not planned because I didn't know you were going to mention his name. But it's not because I have a signed copy of The Room, which out of all scripts ever, this is one of the most unique scripts to ever own. Not that I've even started to read it, but if you've seen either The Room or The Disaster Artist, you know it means something to have.
A big shark.
Yeah, well, there you go. And by the way, while we're on the subject, Andy, this is what I was talking about. Yes, in February, the Silver Screen News are probably going to go and see Mr. Wiseau again and would love to have you with us. We'll connect and make it happen. But through all of it, and through all the mad stuff that Tommy Wiseau has done, he has humility.
Yeah. You know?
That's the difference. Whether you appreciate his films, understand it, love it, hate it, doesn't matter. He has humility. For one man to come out and tell the world, oh, you're wrong, and your BS Marvel movies are the reasons why I'm not making a multi-million. Stop it. Get out. That is high on your own supply. To the highest.
If your name is Martin Scorsese and Francis Ford Coppola, I still don't agree with you, but there's more credence at least to saying that's why your movies aren't making money, because people are busy spending their limited time and money on a Marvel movie instead of 3.5 hours at Killers of the Flower Moon. I don't agree with it, but there's more stock in it.
Yeah.
This guy, there's no stock in it. Nah, bruh. People aren't watching your movies because they flubbing suck. It's as simple as that. And yeah, you did it to me since we're playing show and tell. Hang about.
So yeah, the Silver Screen, if you've watched our, there was actually a video out there, we met Tommy, and it was part of our Silver Screen News show, and we had to embrace the moment. I only, and it's not through hate of owning the DVD, I just don't really consume media. I purchase media in that way. But to have that, Nico went to town. Like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot more merch out there for Tommy. But yeah, show him, bro, show him. It's show and tell time. It's show and tell time.
Okay, because yes, I too have a signed copy of The Room from Tommy Wiseau. I also have a signed DVD of The Room from Tommy Wiseau. And I also have the most amazing gift to mankind ever. A signed copy of a Tommy Wiseau bubblehead.
It's tearing me apart that I don't have one.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
Oh, very good.
Awesome guy to meet. But yes, let's not digress too much from the awesome
House of the Dead sucks.
Yeah, they are some bad movies. Very, very, very bad movies.
Your worst.
Before I do get into that, I have actually seen parts of this. I can't pronounce the guy's surname, but I believe he's from you know him, right? You know,
of course I know Bob Odenkirk. Come on. Okay.
I've actually seen part of the remake, the scene where they're talking about Lisa cheating and stuff. It's actually out this year. I was waiting to see.
It's an actual. It's like a good version of The Room.
Yeah, it's to honor, again, as we saw, the 20th anniversary of The Room. But I think it's also meant to be part spoof. I'll send you the link because it's on YouTube. Okay. You could literally put it out like The Room.
Why don't they just recast Tommy?
He's playing Tommy.
Why?
I can't remember what it's for. I was meant to send a link, but it was dead in the night. And you know, sometimes you don't want to disturb people at 1 a.m. when you see a video. No, that's a lie. I saw it and I was going underground and I couldn't send it off.
There you go.
But that's what happened. And I just completely forgot to send it. But I'll send it to you because I'll find it and send it to you. But there is a remake. I don't know what's happening with it, but it's out to mark the 20th anniversary. And it's meant to have some form of, I don't know. I think the proceeds go to charity or something. I can't remember, but there is, it's there. It is there.
I mean, anything Tommy Wiseau's name is attached to, I watch because he's awesome. Just simple. There we go. Your worst.
My worst, I was very tempted to go down the Uwe line that we've gone through. I was even...
Not Blood Rain? Come on!
Could have. I really was tempted. There were so many. I was also tempted to go down the Shaun of the Dead route, but I felt like it was very silver screen and AJ predictable. And I feel like I just need to be honest in where I say horror doesn't do it for me. And I know you're going to hate me for this because this is one that you respect, but I remember you recommending it to me and it wound me up something rotten.
Oh, you haven't. Stop it.
Paranormal Activity.
You have to. He's gone and done it.
Do you know what it is? It was to show diversity where I could in it. And I just feel that it missed the mark for me. And where people know us for what we do, and there are films that they will recommend. If someone asks me my honest opinion on this film, I can't show love to it. I cannot. I just gradually got more and more frustrated with this film as it went on. Again, as I said, there are certain films, if you're going to do a certain action, I respect it. When I see that you're trying to give me found footage and want me to fall for it and believe in it, you need to do what human instincts will actually encourage you to do. And I don't believe that was that. And it just removed me from the film in such a way that I was like, this is... I nearly let it out. I really let it out. But it frustrated me. And it was the part when his wife is in whatever form of a trance she's in and he's picking up the camera and I was just like, stop it. Stop it. I know it's something that's kind of dear to you, and I it wasn't out for like, let's get Nico on it. But
dear, no, but like, worst?
But the others are guaranteed given worse because they're not good films. When we're talking about films that have got like, when we're talking about the pantheon of films that we've got there in this list, right? And for something that not only, like, there isn't a... Maybe there is a Blood Rain too, but I don't know whoever funds Uwe.
Oh, God.
Uwe Boll's funding is actually more impressive than Tommy's funding because I don't know how...
100%.
Honestly, how people could continue to give this man money or how... I feel like such a hypocrite. I bet if I meet him, I'll be like, he's actually not a bad guy. But but how you could even, how you could have a video game that has success and feel like, this is the man I want. Like, has not one of these films made you think, he's not, if I created a video game tomorrow, let me get this.
How has he managed to assemble the list of talent that he's had work for him? Ray Liotta has been in an Uwe Boll movie. Like, what the hell?
A, in multiple.
Yeah.
I'm not one to tarnish people's names in any way.
Oh.
But I do believe there could be a small chance that some people... Blood Rain 3. Thank you for that, Billy. One was bad enough. I don't know. Again, this is what I'm talking about. How is it funded? Maybe. I'm not here to accuse anyone of taking illegal substances, but maybe he's their dealer. And he gives it at a cheaper price, or he gives it for free. Maybe
he's meant to be a very good chef. Maybe he's cooked his way to their heart.
Maybe. This is true, because he does have those restaurants. I didn't think of that. Maybe he's putting crack in their pies and it's like, hey, you signed a contract.
Krispy Kreme, crack cream. One more donut if you give me another movie.
It sounds bad to say he's roofing people to get them into his films. Like, they wake up after a meal from his food. Like, you just signed a contract. He probably signed Ray Liotta for like a 6-picture movie deal. And Ray was like, I done what? Okay. It makes sense, right?
Oh, geez. Marcus Van Grover here has just given me the equivalent to your Jewish dilemma. Imagine Daniel Day-Lewis in an Uwe Boll movie.
No, but you did not just do that on a live.
I haven't said what it is.
No, I get that. But with current situations, and by the way, people just...
I didn't say Israel, I said Jewish.
Are we going for flagging on a live show?
Have you not seen the current thing? I've said nothing bad.
Talked about a dilemma. I'm just saying, I get where you're going, and
in current status, it could mean anything. By the way, here's, you know where I stand on this. You know where I stand on this conflict.
Don't.
I will.
I'm not getting political. I mean it. Don't.
Of course I will. Watch me now. You know where I stand on this. I don't stand on this.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And for anyone watching and believe I'm anti-Semitic, far from.
No, I think both sides crazy, so I stay out of it.
No, but when we talked about the dilemma, my reaction would lead to some to believe that it's there. It was just a fairly bad joke, but it was shared with many of the Jewish community, so it's not in anti-Semitism in any way.
No, it's not. It's a funny joke.
Yeah, it's a four-year relationship. Ask me a black joke, not on a YouTube live, I'll tell you all of them. Like, it's humor. I share
not
humor.
On a YouTube live because people are sensitive.
what is it South Park call them? The babies?
Oh, the PC babies.
Yeah. Like, but old school, we know how to make jokes without actually meaning anything.
Where Mr. Garrison?
There you go. Anyway, we digress. So that's, Paranormal Activity. I don't know. Sorry, did you want to put a defense up for it? I feel like I'm...
No, I like it. End of. Move on.
Okay. Your number one.
Our number one.
Wait, I don't know. Okay, if it is our, then yes, I'm happy that you've chosen the same number one as me.
Sure. Come on. The Conjuring.
Yeah, indeed. Very similar poster. I just don't have the burnt ends. Yeah, the Conjuring. No, you did have some cool endings around that. Again, I mean, yeah, you're ahead of me on this, but I have to say, I just found this so refreshing in the way stuff was delivered. It plays, again, we'll call it elevated horror, because yes, it does have the jump scares. It doesn't necessarily have, like, the body...
I wouldn't count call it elevated horror, by the way. I would call this classic horror repackaged. Because this may as well be the second coming of The Exorcist, as far as I'm concerned. Yes, I hold The Conjuring in that high regard.
I could, dare I say, possibly call it better than The Exorcist. Shoot me now if you wish. But it depends how you take The Exorcist. But here's what I would say. I'll tell you why I agree with you. Because when I think of classic horror, or when I think of horror, I've always said it. The classic horrors I endorsed. Then came this weird gap of the late 70s. To the 20th century, essentially, which was very much body count and jump scares, you know? And that's what it was. And that's the horror where I was like, you're losing me. Yes, I've enjoyed, and don't get me wrong, yes, I enjoy Scream. Yes, I enjoy Final Destination. Hell, I'll even put my hands up for I Know What You Did Last Summer as films I enjoyed. But they never scared me, and that's when I started to pull out, and then...
because you're watching trashy horror. Like, you're watching trashy teen horror. Of course they
In as much as they were watchable, I was like, these aren't doing it for me. And what I hated was everyone was like, oh my God, have you seen it? Again, overhyping. The overhype killed what then came from it, you know? And that's where I lost it for it. And I just was like, me and horror are done because they're cool, but they're not anything exciting. And because they were trashy horror, they weren't anything for you to grab on to be like, oh, I need to see the next. And if I'm honest as well, I think Scary Movie did kind of kill a part of it as well for me. I was like, I don't want to see anything affiliated to that kind of crap. But then you bring in something like The Conjuring, where it plays on all forms of your senses. You know, it has the jump scares. It has the psychological scares. It doesn't have the villain who is walking at the, like, and I'm not taking shots at It Follows when I say this, but is walking at a snail pace and you're running and then eventually you get stabbed. It's not about that. It plays with you in a way that makes you go, ooh. You know, again, you're talking, oh, Haunted House. We all know what the normal Haunted House game plays. But this one.
Such fun.
Now we're playing a clap, clap. Now we're playing the game. Now you've got me. Now I'm invested. And what I love, and what always, I always say anytime The Conjuring comes up, it's not just The Conjuring.
Yeah, it's the franchise. The
sequels. It's not even a franchise as far as I'm concerned. It's a universe.
Yeah, because it's the MCU of horror.
Yeah. And I just...
When the MCU was good.
Yeah. It goes up to Endgame. Endgame MCU. That's what we're talking. Yeah. They deliver. They deliver.
Mostly. There have been a few misses, but they are... When they hit, boy, do they hit well.
Yeah.
Jeez, do they hit well.
Yeah.
So well, in fact, that I was very much hesitating. Do I pick number one or number two? Because for me, they're level pegging.
They are both good, but my love came from number one. You know,
and that's right. Exactly the same here, which is why. I'm But that nun, man. That freaking made the post, made our thumbnail, right? And you know what's interesting is now I've seen all of them now. There are, if I'm not going crazy, I think there are 9 Conjuring movies. It's 8 or 9.
It makes sense.
Conjuring 1, Conjuring 2, Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, Annabelle, Annabelle Creation, Annabelle Comes Home, The Nun 2. It's 8. Unless I'm missing one, it's 8. What's interesting is when you go and watch them, because they're non-linear in the order they come out, and there's another one coming, and non-linear in the way they come out. Valak's there in part one. That's what's fascinating.
Was it part one? I thought
you don't see her. You don't see her. Valak is there in part one. Like, again, it takes a YouTube editing genius to do all this, but some YouTube editing genius has chronologically gone through the entire timeline of the Conjuring universe from before Valak became a demon nun up until the last point of the last chronology in the movie. Valak's everywhere. Valak is not just the nun. Valak is the overarching enemy of the entire universe. I was like, I knew that mother flubber was bothering me. I've been haunted since before I knew I was being haunted.
Just a few bits. Gavin has missed my uneasiness. Yes, this is what this man does to me on a weekly basis. You'd be surprised what editing looks like. And yes, to go back to the Juve Bowl. Jason Statham, Burt Reynolds, Ray Liotta, Rob Perlman, John Rhys-Davies all appeared in the Juve Bowl movies.
Only 3 of those surprised me for being in a Juve Bowl movie, by the way.
I don't know if it's Jason or Bert that doesn't surprise you.
Jason definitely doesn't surprise me.
Bert Reynolds doesn't surprise me sometimes as well. I must admit, though, when I saw him, I was like, it can't be.
Jason Statham's not a good actor. Come on.
I know he's not, but I mean, still, sure.
Jason Statham used to be fun. He's now become a joke unto himself. Jason Statham is literally a walking, talking meme at this point.
Yeah. Gavin, also to answer your question, I really just didn't have the time for the miss today. Last week, I didn't. I wanted to see it. Next week, I wanted to see it because I wasn't sure if Nico loved it or hated it. Bit of a spoiler for next week. He reminded me how much he loved it. I wanted to do it this week. No, there wasn't a flying chance in hell.
Oh, it's fine. Time for that. And to answer Billy's questions now, Nico and AJ, how would you rank the Conjuring movies?
I want to rewatch that before I answer that. Billy, I will get back to you on that one day. And I need to complete it. I've not even seen the Nun 2 yet.
Conjuring. Nun 2 is fine. It's mid-range. It's not offensive, but it's not great. I'd go because of how much that freaking nun bothers me. Conjuring 2. Conjuring. Annabelle Creation, which is the second Annabelle movie. That was really good.
I'm surprised the Nun didn't come in third place.
No, Nun's fourth. Annabelle Creation is genuinely fantastic. Then it's the Nun. Then it's Annabelle Comes Home, which was fine, but it was a bit like a kind of Avengers Assemble moment thing. It wasn't. At this point, they don't get scary anymore. Then I guess I'd have to go with the Nun 2. Then I'd go with the first Annabelle movie. And then, sadly, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, I think, is the worst.
I remember, I haven't seen it, and I remember saying
it's just not scary. And I'm like, this movie, if it was not in this universe, would be fine. This movie does not belong in this universe.
Which is telling, though. It just shows how good one has delivered. That a good movie is bad in somewhere else.
100%. And Nico and AJ, can you picture Resident Evil as trashy zombie gore? Yes, and it's great.
I can picture it as that. Having played the game in 3D and that being the only one, it is definitely made to be a trashy zombie horror movie.
It's great.
Most definitely meant to be that. Not directed by Mr. Ball, but most definitely a trashy zombie.
Saying this, I would like to see a director come along and give it the proper treatment. Like, we still haven't had a legitimately good Resident Evil movie. They've all been fun. All fun. With varying levels of fun, but
wait a minute. I'm thinking of this as something I've never seen before. Resident Evil, that's the one with the triangle head demon, isn't it, that comes up?
You're thinking of Silent Hill, my friend.
Silent Hill, because, yeah, that was terrible. God, that nearly made worse. Oh, God, I didn't like that.
Silent Hill was bad. Although, I'll say this, Silent Hill, the art direction in Silent Hill was really good. Really, really good. But that's pretty much the only thing the movie had going for it. But the Resident Evil, listen, there's such a good story in the Resident Evil games. It's like Metal Gear Solid. It's literally there for you. It's literally written. It's just follow exactly what's there. And you know, we're in an age now where video game movies and series are starting to be really good. You know, they didn't come along and make The Last of Us and be like, let's change everything. They were like, no, this is good. Do exactly that. And look what happened.
Yeah, so now those are the Mila movies, aren't they? Resident Evil.
Yeah, they're trash.
Just literally a remake of Doom, just with multiple episodes.
Yeah. And Billy, I'm with you. I like the first Resident Evil. Dude, I like the first four Resident Evil. I think I even like Resident Evil 5 when they go super crazy 3D with the James Cameron pace camera. They're fun. I enjoy them, but they're not good. And I'd like to see someone do a good, like genuinely well-crafted Resident Evil movie and make it a franchise. Story's there. The story's there. Just follow it. Cool. AJ, Rushmore time.
Well, I think it's a given that The Conjuring is definitely going to be in the list.
Yes. Conjuring's there.
Let the right one in. My two, your three.
No, I know, but table it with most likely a yes, but table it. I'll explain why. We had a lot of punts, dude.
No, I get what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. The international flair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm worried Twitter just will not be... Oh, Billy Matt, I haven't seen Welcome to Raccoon City. I've heard it's awful. Let me know if that's not the case. I'd like to see it, but I have not heard good things. Look, we punted on The Invisible Man.
I was playing with Invisible Man.
We've punted on Train to Busan. We punted on Let the Right One In. We punted
but
on.
Then that is another international flair that kind of scared me from.
I know. Train to Busan's got a better hope of doing well than Let the Right One In. And then we punted on the Babadook.
Which, funny enough, has more love than I'm aware of.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. I like the idea of putting Let the Right One In. It should be in there, but I just don't know how Twitter would take to it. I can see it being James Wan and Coach Carter very easily.
Mm.
Would you consider the Babadook Duk Duk?
Because of the love I've seen from others, yes.
Cool. So now Billy, we have one spot to fill, and then Billy, it goes over to the screeners.
You got. I haven't seen your top 10 or top 4 yet, Billy. If you're available to post it, please. Not that you have to. You may not have a lot of love for horror, which I probably didn't.
Do you want to put the Invisible Man in there?
Can do. Makes sense.
It's a punt, and I think between that, Train to Busan, and Let the Right One In, it's probably got the chance of doing the best.
Okay, I'm down with that. And now it's over to the screeners.
Well, let's read what their lists were.
Okay. So we've got Andy, who has The Descent, 28 Days Later, Martyrs,
nice.
The Devil's Backbone, Kill List, Let the Right One In, Audition, I need to see that film. Ginger Snaps.
Nice, put Ginger Snaps in the werewolf movie. Good on you.
And The Orphanage. Gavin has given us Train to Busan, Under the Shadow, Troll Hunter, Mandy, The Lighthouse.
Well done.
The Shadows, Quiet Place, Pontypool. Pontypool's another one I need to get on the bloody Pontypool. Train with.
Well done, Gavin.
One Cut of the Dead. And yeah, Gavin doesn't have a number one for some reason. Don't know why. You missed a number there, Gavin. You
missed a number.
For those on pod, it's Short of
no.
the Dead.
No, it's not.
And we've also got Andy's honorable mention.
Raw, yes. Yes.
Wreck, The Mist, A Quiet yep. Place, Drag Me to Hell.
Didn't like that.
It Follows, The Invisible Man, The yep. Witch, Get Out.
With The Witch, well done.
Get Out. Do you know Get Out nearly made worse for me? I was so disappointed with that film. Oculus, Ready or Not, 30 Days of Night.
30 Days of Night, the premise was interesting. I didn't like the execution of it. Vampires in the end, Vampires in Alaska. I was like, setting love, premise love.
Yeah, you spoke about that. Yeah.
Didn't rock my world, though. But I'm happy to see that Robert Eggers is got in there with both of you. So you got The Lighthouse and you've got The Witch. Both of those are very much toying for me. So cool. I think it basically comes down to asking the screeners, are we putting Let the Right One In or Train to Busan in?
Yeah.
Guys, so Billy, Gavin, Andy, Mark, if you're still there, Dan, if you're there. Sorry, Marcus, if you're still there, Dan, if you're there. Your choices are Train to Busan or Let the Right One In. Let us
and
know.
And while you guys are typing that, Billy's asking me, what did I think of Us and
Nope was way better than Get Out.
So here's the thing. Oh, you saw Nope?
Nope's good.
Okay. Because what happened is my sister, I did not like Get Out. I completely hated Get Out.
Normie,
not that
God,
my sister is the measuring stick of films, but she went to see Us and despised it. Literally hated it to the point that she nearly walked out of the cinema and it put me off. And with that, I was just like, it's not for me. This director is not for me. And we just left it as that. And nope. That's the way I'm going to go for it.
Nope but is super
I know Dan had said he liked Nope. And you're saying that Nope is something to watch. Nope may get my time. I'll give it a shot. But I had literally, me and Jordan Peele were done. I was like, this is not going to happen.
Nope's a lot of fun. Really, okay. Really a lot of fun.
Okay. So Billy has said Train to Busan, as has Gavin.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, Gavin, please, 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 please. Honestly, Let the Right One In has to be seen.
It's amazing.
It's not one of those questionable, some may not like it. If you are the platinum man, that means you kind of endorse, and both of us give an endorsement on this film. Please check it out. It's amazing.
And Andy Holt says, I would lean towards Let the Right One In, but think both should be on the Rushmore. Yeah, I would second that, Andy. But
yes, I'm aware of that, Billy.
Could,
I know
he's done a lot of... Let the Right One In and take the Invisible Man off.
I'm not opposed to it.
Do you want to do that? I'm worried about what would happen, but if you want to see what would happen, I'm happy to do that.
It's a tough one, and it could take a hit, but I feel like The Invisible Man has many more chances to come up. Like, The Invisible Man's been on my list already this year for something else. How many times does Let the Right One In have the opportunity to be seen?
Okay, we've been swayed. Let's change it up then.
Oh, now I feel like a fool.
Good to go?
Hold on. I'm doing this for me.
Oh, I see you're making a note of it, yeah.
I can't remember the fourth, essentially. Okay, yeah, cool. That's got a nice flair to it, actually.
Right, doesn't it, just?
It keeps it international. I like it. It's not like no two films are from the same country. Let's go with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the official movie Mount Rushmore of horror movies of the 21st century, in no particular order, is...
Train to Busan.
Our second entry is...
Let the Right One In.
Our third entry is...
Babadook.
Duck, duck. Our final entry into the movie Mount Rushmore of horror movies of the 21st century is...
First one of the horror MCU, The Conjuring.
Yep.
Quite a decent list, actually. Thank Great. You very much, guys. Guys, honestly, like, okay. Small spoiler, next week is last week's show, so you won't see a live from us again. It was good to have you guys back. They will be here. It's not an every week thing. We are still going to be on a pre-recorded format for a bit, just because it works, essentially, for other reasons. That is a bit hard to explain. But thank you all for coming back. Please do spread the word. Let everyone know that the Silver Screen Dudes is a thing. It's just as funny as Silver Screen Dudes, just a bit cleaner. But we're still there. It's been absolutely awesome having you guys with us. Just that interaction, having you vote on a topic again, having that feedback of just these little golden gems, hearing that The Invisible Man was meant to be part of the Monster Universe, someone else's take on another film, Gavin realizing how much Nico makes me uneasy on a week-to-week
basis. Yeah.
it's that. And then just random films that we would not have heard of if it wasn't for you guys, you know? You don't actually appreciate that the edutainment is not just a runway street in this. It is most definitely a two-way street. So you've just helped us build the Rushmore. Now, guys, because you helped build it, why don't you create your winner as well? Because why don't you head on over to @MovieMTRushmore, but more importantly, @MoviePulseForYou on X, fronted by good old JT of We Love Movies. And that's where you guys get to vote and crown the very best of the best of the best with honors, sir. And to quote Highlander, in the end, there can be only one. I've done that with Andy in the chat. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
yeah. So please do head on over there, get the votes out, and let's crown the best horror movie of the 21st century.
Indeed. And sorry, I'm just making a note because one of the suggestions Gavin Mann made there was fantastic. I'll put that in as a fanuary selection if you wish, Gavin. Yeah, guys, remember, we are here every week. Every single week, we've got pretty much daily content, but the top 10 is here every week. The news will now be making an appearance twice a week. Just stay tuned to the channel, tickle the notification bell. Happy Halloween to everyone. We are going to aim to bring you a live show once every month, once every 2 months at a push. for sure the last show of the season, so our top 10 movies of 2023, that will be alive, so we'll aim to do that. And we'll do our best to get you on in November, but no guarantees just because of our scheduling. But we'll aim to do so.
Yeah, I'm actually away for a bit in November as well, guys.
Exactly. So the scheduling in November is difficult, but we are doing our best to get you a live show more regularly. The next one, 100%, will be in December. And yeah, thank you, everyone. Check out our new show. Please keep spreading the word, interacting with our content. We're growing faster than we thought, given that we restarted. Yay. We'll see you guys very soon. I'm Nico Luro.
I'm the one AJ Anthony Jordan, and we are out, guys. Thank you so much for joining us, and see ya.
See ya.